This episode of Sessionable is brought to you by Dave's Travel and Events Group, voted Best Tour and Transport Operator in the New South Wales Tourism Awards. Well done, team. If you want to know why they're award-winning, why not check out one of their great beer experiences, like their Rocks Pub Walk, which is a historical walking tour with a twist. The twist being beer, of course. Walking tours are pretty awesome to begin with, and adding beer to the equation makes it awesomer, so it's really worth checking out. To book your tour today, go to daves.com.au.
Sessionable.
All right, welcome to Sessionable. We're back at...
I'm back.
You're back.
Yeah.
I say we, the podcast is back at the Basement Brewhouse at the Bankstown Sports Club. As we said in the last episode, we recorded an episode here before, but we had some computer gremlins come in and destroy it, so we weren't able to release that one. But we're joined by the same guys we were joined by last time. We've got Tero.
Hey, guys.
And Gareth.
Yeah, g'day. How you doing?
So, Tero, Gareth, tell us what you do.
I'm the brewhouse coordinator, so basically just manager of the venue.
Yeah.
Gareth?
I'm the beverage manager for the club, so I manage the brewhouse among all the other bars as well.
You're a busy man today.
Yeah. Busy man most days.
Yeah. There's a lot of bars here. Liam took us on a quick tour when we came in.
Yeah, it's busy today. Yeah.
Yeah, nice for a Sunday.
Yeah.
Had a quick walk around on my way in.
It's looking good. So, Gareth, how long have you been here at the Bankstown Sports Club?
I've been here for just over 6 years now.
And how long has the brewhouse been going for?
We opened 1st of November 2016, so year and a half.
Cool. And so what was the basic idea of bringing the brewhouse in? Is it sort of looking at what else you had, or where did the initial thought process of putting a brewhouse into a register club?
So this area used to be our sports bar, which had been operating for close to 20 years. The area was starting to get a little bit tired and needed a bit of a revamp. And when we revamp things, we try and change them around and find a need that we have and see what way we can really address that and do something new and invigorating for the club in that. So we'd done a little bit of research. We'd been trialing and developing a little bit of a craft beer following in our atrium bar for a year or so prior. And really had the confidence that this was something that would be exciting for Bankstown and Western Sydney in general, and that there was really a market here for it. So once we decided to do it and do a craft beer bar, we pretty much went all in with that. So really committed to having a pretty spectacular craft beer venue.
And Tara, were you here from the start?
Or? I started about 2 months beforehand to help set up and train staff and all that sort of stuff, and I've been here since.
And how's it going?
Yeah, good. Definitely some busy periods. Lots of stuff to be done, and plenty more to do.
Yeah, awesome. Beer wise, we've got one of your beers in front of us. We've all got the same beer by the looks of it. Well, you know, we saw last time I was here, you were mentioning the fact that you had a New England IPA coming out, and I was really intrigued to see how the Smart Brew system will handle doing a New England IPA. So we've got it in front of us. What do you think, guys?
Yeah, it's pretty tasty. It's
it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, because the Smart Brew system, I don't know too much about it, but it's interesting. Yeah, it's really cool that you can put some really like awesome stuff out of a system like that.
Well, the New England IPA was kind of a test to see if it would work.
Yeah.
And it
seems
has
to work. Yeah,
and so we're probably going to keep trying to push it a little bit more. See what else we can do. Just smaller runs, but more interesting beers.
Yeah, cool.
Was this the most expensive beer to produce on the system, I would imagine?
Absolutely.
Yes. Very much so.
There's a lot more goes into it than a normal beer.
Yeah. How's it taking up with the punters?
Yeah, everyone we put it in front of loves it. Big fans.
That's pretty much like every New England IPA, it really does hide at 6.2% pretty well.
6.2%? Yeah. Wow. Oof,
yeah,
okay. You guys didn't drive, did you?
No,
I drive.
Come on. Yeah.
Considering what we're going to be doing later tonight.
Yeah, true.
That's really cool. Awesome. I think there's always a worry when you do something like, you know, which is always bigger or, you know, particularly more expensive to produce. You want to make sure that at least that people are going to enjoy it. So I'm sure you're pretty stoked with that one.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
We're pretty happy that, again, like you said, the system was capable of doing something
really cool.
Like that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, once they heard about the Smart Brew system, were fairly skeptical about it and what it was able to produce. So to be able to put out something that's really at that pointy end of craft beer and producing those things with that system has been really exciting for us.
I guess that's a really good point to talk about it, because I guess the smart brew system is pretty much like the focal point of the brew house in general, right? Smart, right smack bang in the middle of it. You see the tanks as you're coming downstairs. Was that sort of, was the rest of the venue built around that, or how did it come about?
It was to a degree, yeah. So once we decided we were going to do a craft beer venue, we sort of just went off the deep end, like I said, decided if we're going to do a craft beer venue, why don't we do a brewery as well? Yeah. We were looking at where we could have brewing options and what we could do and the scale of the system and all of the technical stuff that goes along with it. And then we discovered the smart brew system, which just answered a lot of those problems for us. And it gives us the flexibility to have the whole brewing operation behind the bar really visible and really approachable to patrons.
And in a really small footprint as well, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's really doesn't, yeah. I mean, you know, it doesn't take that much space, which is really cool.
It is. And it's might be a small footprint, but you can see it from three different levels, which makes it cool as well.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got the height, so it really carries through. And, like, you know, pretty much as you're walking through the front door of the venue, you're kind of like, all right, where am I going to be going? Up. Oh, there's a whole bunch of tanks. Yeah. And then, you know, you've sort of been growing your beer range out of that as well. You know, the New England IPA. How many beers are you up to now?
We're now currently on, at the moment, 10. We started with the 4, which we still have on, the staples, and we've sort of slowly just grown it.
Yeah.
So it's good. The last 5 or 6 we'll rotate through, but yeah, it's good.
And then are you sort of tweaking some of those cores as you go along, or you think you pretty much had them nailed in from the start? Or
Brewer Mark's been tweaking them the whole way along, I think, yeah.
Lots of quality control checks along the way.
Oh, definitely.
off shift as always.
Well, it helps that you can take growlers of them home.
Yeah. and do you find, the growlers, is that a part of it that's moving? Because you got some pretty competitive pricing, I could say, over growlers, or your beers in general.
Definitely the growlers have been a big part. I think last time we spoke, we'd sold about 522 actual growler bottles with probably twice as many growler fills.
It was pretty exciting for us when, before we even opened, most people in the building had never even heard of a growler before.
Yeah, yeah.
So we had to sell that as an idea internally even before we could really put that in. So to have it be that successful in so little amount of time is a huge plus for us. And it just means people can take a little bit of the brew house home with them and hopefully take our beers to barbecues and really enjoy them outside the venue as well.
Yeah. I guess that was that something you ever thought of, seeing the beers leaving the venue from the start? Or is that something, because it's kind of growing?
Oh, it's absolutely something we thought about from the start.
So you're happy to see that happening? Because you know, beers are going out to some of your other sister venues and stuff like that
as well. Yeah, so we're fortunate enough to have a couple of other venues where we can have our beers on. It's worked really well over there. It ties them in with what we're doing here, but it also gives it a little bit of the club identity at those other venues as well.
We also sold some to some other clubs as well, like not associated with us.
Cool, awesome.
Our Club Co group.
Yeah, so Club Co's a wholesaler for clubs that has taken up our brand, so
they're distributing
them as well. So there's one or two other venues around that are selling our beers, which is really exciting.
That's really good.
That's very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's very cool. And can you get the basement beers throughout the rest of the club, or is it just down here? Is that
at the moment? It's just down
here. Just down here.
We have ranged them previously in a few other bars, but we've moved away from that.
Yeah.
Our other bars and restaurants have all got their own identity as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That doesn't necessarily fit with what the brew house identity is. So our Italian restaurant's got some Italian beers and there's not really the need to have the brew house beers on. Like Tara said, though, we do have them at the other venues where it makes a bit more sense, but doesn't quite fit in with some of our other bars here.
Makes sense.
Memory serves me correctly, you're saying there's about 120 taps across the venue, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you can see from the way things are lined up in the keg room, it's pretty full on operation in terms of the taps. So
we're just sitting next to a window into the core room, and I can't stop staring at it. It's very impressive.
I think you know, when I was talking to the guys before today, saying it's like, oh yeah, I have to show you this core room, and like, people always think I'm weird when I want to show you the core room.
No, I was keen.
Yeah,
all the reps come in, they see this room, and they just
so jealous.
They stop,
right?
And stare at it.
Yeah, we'll take some photos to put on for the show notes as well. But it's anyone who's ever worked in a pub will be very envious of this cool room.
It's great seeing people come in and look at it and seeing people's eyes light up and how excited they are.
I suppose
just,
like
just brings me back down to earth a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah, no, it's good, but it's a part of the pub or that people don't really see because yeah. cool rooms mm. are always hidden.
Yeah.
Probably like below the cleanest or, places
yeah.
in the
yeah,
pub
true.
As well.
It is sparkling. It's yeah, like it's very tight.
That's what happens when you put windows in. Yeah. You have to keep it very quiet and keep you guys in very good order. But
there's not a lot of hiding spaces in there, is there?
Yeah. Again, that's what we considered from the start of if we're doing craft beer, let's really tie it in mm-hmm. with, like, we do open kitchens, and that's what you see in a lot of restaurants now, of you can see your food being cooked, you see your chefs, so why not do the same with beer, so which is why we've got the system right in the bar, but also tie in so you can see the keg room, you can see kegs being filled and washed inside there, and really bring everything together for the, like you said, the punter who would normally have not seen a keg other than sitting outside a pub waiting to be picked up.
That's great. And then have you found your punters in general? Is it, are you getting a different type of people coming in just for the brew house, or is it people who are already coming to visit the venue?
Honestly, there's a big mix. We've got a lot of people coming down who are new to craft beer, just in the venue, so they're giving it a go and enjoying it. There's the odd craft beer nerd who comes down who lives locally. Just people coming out for a night. With the travel lodge upstairs, you get people from interstate come down and they go, I've got a brewery in my hotel. This is amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, we're getting lots and lots. Slightly different demographic from the rest of the club with younger people.
It's a bit younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Families and stuff like that as well?
Well, we're over 18 venues, so...
Yeah, that's awesome.
Maybe the...
That was another thing that was considered very early on of the club. We could have had this licensed for kids down here as well, but we chose that the club's got a lot of areas and we're very, very family friendly, but we wanted to have an area where it's an adults only area so you can relax and enjoy your time down here without having to worry about the kids.
Awesome. You know, and you kind of been putting Bankstown on the map for beers, and it's always good when you know got Cutty Cellars around the corner.
Yeah.
Are you making this Sydney's second home? Is this the next stretch from Marrickville? Is it going to be
Bankstown?
Yeah.
We're working at it. Like we keep putting those pointy end beers on. Like we've got Corbin D on there at the moment. Got the Willie the Boatman II Captain.
So I'll try that. Yeah.
Actually, got a keg of La Serene Citre Sour.
Wow.
Waited to go on. So,
We've spoken a lot about, like you said, make it the next Marrickville. There's a huge number of people in southwestern Sydney. Heaps of people live here.
Underserviced.
And we're not assuming that everyone who drinks craft beer in Marrickville lives in Marrickville.
No.
People come from all over Sydney to go to those venues. Huge numbers of them are coming from here or even further west than here. So that was part of our planning right from the start of if these people are going all the way to the city, why don't we put something in their backyard so they don't have to go to the city, and even better, they don't have to get home from the city after a night.
Awesome. Look, well, I think we're going to wrap it up in a little bit because we know you guys are just about to start this event, which is sort of why we're here. But do you want to talk about what are we getting ourselves into today?
A lot of big beers is the short answer. Probably Gareth's better to explain how the Sullivan's Cove cask came about.
So we've done a lot of work previously with Stockade. They've been really, really helpful for us with a lot of things, especially when we're opening up the venue and even before that. And separately to this, in the Atrium Bar, we'd been stocking the Sullivan's Cove French cask whiskey for a very long time, and it became almost impossible to get after it won the World Whiskey of the Year award. So we wanted to keep stocking that, and it was so hard to get. They created a new program, a Cellar Master program, so you could buy your own 20-litre cask. It had mature for 2 years, and then you'd get all the bottles of whiskey and the empty cask at the end of it. So just around the time we were opening the brew house, one of those casks came in with all the whiskey, and then we're trying to figure out what to do with it. So I was talking to the Stockade guys at the time, realized they were just working on their barrel program in Marrickville, and together we came up with the idea of why don't we chuck some of their stout that they use for old money and throw it in this barrel instead and see how it compared from such a spectacular whiskey in a small format barrel and see
fresh barrel too, maybe 3 weeks without liquid in it.
So we just received the barrel, took it straight to the brewery, pretty much filled it up. When we took the cork out, the smell from the empty barrel was but it was still really damp on the inside, really rich sort of whiskey smells. So that's probably contributed to what the beer's turned out in the end.
Yeah.
apparently it's coming in around 17 or 18% this beer.
17.1 was the final number.
So it's picked up a fair bit of whiskey. And we're really excited to see what that tastes like.
Yeah.
Especially compared to the same beer that's aged in a different barrel.
Yeah.
But in that small barrel with the extra surface area, but from an absolutely world-class whiskey as well, is hopefully something that's going to be a really, really good thing.
Well, we'll also be tasting alongside the Sullivan's Cove whiskey from the same cask
that's
as well.
That's so cool.
That is really cool. Yeah.
I'm really excited to see what notes in that whiskey come across in the beer as well. But
indeed.
It's going to be a big night.
Yeah. And we'll for the podcast listeners, they're going to hear like a quick read from Adrian, and then we'll come back at the end of the night. But we've got a bit of drinking to do in between.
So guys, I think we'll wrap it up there. And if we got time, we might grab you for a quick shout afterwards.
Yeah, of course.
But we'll let you get set up because we're about 20 minutes away from.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Great.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Cheers. Cheers.
Sessionable.
Ever been in the work function and it's just cheap drinks on a boat for like the fifth year in a row? And you think to yourself, ugh, I wish I was doing something fun. Well, Dave's Travel and Events Group can help you out with that. With Dave's Events, they can hook you up with some great team-building activities like axe throwing. Or they can curate a nice degustation matched with some good beer. Or they can even help you brew your own beer for your staff and clients. Whatever your needs, Dave's Events can customise an awesome local beer experience for your workplace. So it doesn't have to be just drinks in a boat. Although it can totally be drinks in a boat. For more info, check out daves.com.au.
I'm Adrian, by the way.
I'm Tom.
Hello.
Yeah.
I wasn't in the first half of the show. We just did the dinner that we were talking about before the break.
And I know we hyped ourselves up. We said it's going to be boozy. It was going to be a big... I still wasn't prepared.
Can you talk about what the beers were?
Yeah.
Talk about the percentages. Well, yeah, talk about the beers.
There was not a single beer under 12%.
Yeah.
So and 12% was the kind of the, so was 4 12% beers. Was actually the, yeah the lowest
four
yeah.
beers 12.1% was the lowest.
So we started off with the Rausch beer.
Yep.
Yeah, in inverted commas, yeah. Rausch beer, which had spent like 2 years in a barrel. The brewers had forgotten about it. It had taken on this weird, like wild yeast, funky sour character. It was 12% because it was in like whiskey barrels for so long.
It tasted like cognac.
It smelled like cognac. Yeah, it smelled like cognac. It tasted like a weird like. Cognac, peated whiskey.
I reckon it would be a very hard sell to tell someone, do you want to try the barrel-aged, wild, sour, smoky bacon Rausch beer?
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like it's going to work, but no, I actually really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it as well.
It was nice,
So it was paired with the smoked rib, right?
Just the smoked beef rib.
Yeah.
With a coleslaw.
With a really nice sauce, actually.
And that worked really well, I thought, because I thought the tartness of the Rausch beer really cut through.
The sweetness and the fattiness of the rib.
Okay. Probably my second favourite match of the night.
Yeah, that was a really good pairing.
Yeah, very good.
Then we had Mountie.
Mountie.
The Mountie.
Yep.
So that, the first one, the Rausch beer, that was, 12.6%?
Yeah, somewhere like that. And then Mountie was 12% as well.
Yeah.
And that was matched with
pork belly.
Yeah, crispy pork belly with pretzels and sauerkraut. Yeah. Which was awesome. That was such a good match.
I think that was my favorite pairing of the night. I thought that worked really well.
What I loved about it is it's like it takes the Mountie is you think about matching Mountie with food and it's very easy to go Mountie and something sweet. Or Mountie, you know, like a dessert. You go with pancakes, go with something maple. But I think it takes some courage to say, no, we won't do something sweet. We're going to do something savory. We're going to do crispy pork belly with sauerkraut and pretzel. And I actually think the saltiness of that worked so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sort of amplified the sweetness in that really nice way that salt does.
So, Terry, you've just knocked off work. You're having your first beer for the night.
Indeed.
Congratulations. That was an awesome event.
It was a really, really cool event.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Yeah,
that was really cool.
It was actually pretty fun to run, actually.
You didn't seem too stressed. I think you did pretty well.
I covered it up well then.
that's what it's about, you know?
But
you've got yourself the barrel-aged. That's the barrel-aged.
It is indeed.
We haven't had it yet, have you?
No. I've been looking forward to this beer for 9 months now.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
So, Tara actually came out when we filled the barrel as well. So, he was there at the moment this beer went into the barrel and probably observing it coming to fruition right now.
So it's basically like my baby.
It's nine months to gestate. Yeah.
So what did you think of the beer? Like, you've got it in front of you. I know we're just throwing you on the spot right now, but I think compared to the old money, it had a lot more thickness and viscousness.
I was saying to Anton, like, it's the best version of old money, and he didn't disagree.
what he said is like, well, it's unfair.
Yeah, no, it is unfair. No, it is unfair, but it is.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
It is the best one.
But it's you comparing.
It's unfair because, like, you're aging it in a 20-liter cask that has a lot more contact
with a $400 bottle of whiskey rather than Woodford Reserve bourbon is a really nice bourbon.
It's a very nice bourbon, yeah.
But it's also like a $70 a bottle.
And you also have way less contact with barrel.
Yeah.
It is incredibly smooth, tasty,
it's
and
so
delicious.
Smooth.
It hides at 17% till it gets down to about your esophagus, and then it's just like a nice
Yeah,
warm
once you finish the glass, like, you do start feeling the 17%.
We've had three 12% beers and one 17% beers, and I think the 17% beers is the smoothest one of the four.
I would agree with that, yeah.
I think you feel it most in your legs when you go to walk away from it.
Yeah. When I got up to go to the loo, I'm like, whoa.
So we were just talking through all the courses. So we had the second one was the Mountie.
We talked about the second one, which was fantastic. Yeah. And we were just saying the courage of the food matching there to go savoury and salty.
Yeah, that was good.
With Mountie rather than going
very,
something like
very inspired.
Sweet.
Yeah. You know, and that's the hard thing with a night like tonight, because like being such all big barrel aged beers.
Such big flavours.
Like,
do have to think about outside the box.
Well, because that's... If you have one of the beers in your pairing, that's your dessert beer,
you
right?
You can't just do molten chocolate pudding with all four, right?
Like, I mean, it's,
you know, it would have been easy.
I mean,
like,
you can.
But I really think the chef team did an awesome job with the pairings, guys.
Yeah,
because
it was really good.
The easiest thing would have been to have Mountie as dessert beer, and I really like the fact that didn't happen.
Yeah,
I like the fact that even when you did dessert beer, it wasn't a chocolate-based dessert, because that was different again. I think
that was probably my favourite matching, to be honest. That was awesome.
Yeah, I think the pairings did really well. Mm-hmm. So I think,
really cool.
That is great to
hear.
Yeah.
Team needs a big pat on the back.
Yeah,
100%.
The chefs here are really good at their job, and when they get the opportunity to do something a little bit outside the normal, they really step it up as well.
I think they did a great job, because it's like, you know, we've all been to enough beer dinners where you almost know the menu before you walk in the door to some degree. Like, and I think I was really pleasantly surprised with the reading the menu, and then what the execution as well was also really good. So
So the third one was Old Money, Stockade Old Money, with they were
chili cheese
and tomato
cookies.
Very interesting cookies.
Yeah, they were really
never
good,
had
like
cookies
sort
that
of like,
like that.
Savory shortbread almost.
Yeah,
in terms of the...
It had that definitely that like that not that almost fattiness that a shortbread cookie has without the sweetness.
Yeah.
And the sun-dried tomatoes were really nice.
Yeah. I think it was... I can see... for me, that was sort of the weakest match, but only, I think...
Yeah, I agree.
The flavours were a bit more subtle in the food, and just you're matching it with Old Money, which is big. I think it was just an intensity thing.
I think there wasn't just enough intensity from the cookies, but I think the flavours were amazing.
It was spot on.
And that sun-dried tomatoes with the Old Money
that's a good...
Really nice.
Good match.
I also think there's a big part of that matching was also the texture.
Yeah.
So the fact that it is a cookie, a little bit dry, matching it with the Old Money.
I think it was a really nice pairing, but probably wasn't the strongest pairing of the night, and that's no disrespect to it.
No, but that's because there were three other very strong pairings.
Yeah.
Like that's, And then, the final one was the Basement Brewhouse Sullivan's Cove Barrel-Aged Stout. Which was insane. So as we said, like we were talking about earlier, it's a 20-liter cask that the beer sat in, and then
for nine months,
we got the beer, and we got a half nip of whiskey from that exact cask, which is again crazy. I've never had that before.
Yeah, I think that was really cool, guys. Anton talked about it during the night, but I don't know anywhere else that's had that on offer.
I can't think of that anywhere in Australia that's ever been done. Like
I love the fact that the Sullivan's Cove was a digestive on the menu as well.
Because
that's all you.
I thought that was a bit cheap.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was awesome. It was great, guys. I think it was a shining light for what you guys are doing here,
100%
at the brew house. I hope it's one of many awesome events you guys do.
That is the plan.
Yeah,
it was very well attended.
You set a pretty high bar for the first one.
Just got to beat that every time, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the next one?
But
Pappy Van Winkle barrel aged.
Also learning about there's another one of those barrels sitting around that's waiting to have something put into it as well. So
indeed, there is.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there as well. So guys, thank you very much for yet again letting us come around. Thank you for letting us spending the time with us for the second time to record with us. And thank you for the night. It's been amazing.
Yeah, the night's been incredible. Yeah.
And just for continuity, Gareth, do you want to join us for recommendations afterwards?
Yeah, it'd be great. Shame Tero's got to duck off.
Yeah, he's got to duck off.
The train's coming.
I can't wait. I couldn't be more prepared.
Right, let's do it.
Really looking forward to it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Sessionable. So we've decided to do some recommendations before we get really drunk from barrel-aged 17% stouts.
You know what I recommend? I recommend some barrel-aged beer.
Yeah.
Nuggets.
Responsible amounts.
Of course.
We've got to be very responsible, of course.
I've got to say, I wasn't on the first half of this show, and I just wanted to note how crazy this whole venue is.
It's huge.
It's kind of like a theme park. Like, it's kind of like Las Vegas, right? There's so many different areas. There was a band playing cover songs. In a grotto.
It's a pretty amazing venue, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Cruise ship on land would be.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
So.
And I think the amazing thing is how many people are here eating and like all the restaurants.
Yeah, it's so packed. I'm really impressed.
I mean, it's just coming to 4 o'clock on a Sunday it's bumping. It's great. Yeah.
It's really exciting to see it like that. And it's always like a very exciting venue to be a part of. And the people that are coming into all these restaurants and just having that really vibrant venue with all the different options.
Yeah.
It's really exciting being here.
Awesome. All right. So, we're going to do some time traveling because we do recommendations.
We've done the dinner, I guess.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about it before.
We would have already talked about that.
We've already talked about it. We don't need to talk about it again.
See, time travel is confusing.
Yeah. So,
let's go with it.
Let's go straight to recommendations.
We're doing non-beer or beer?
Let's go non-beer this time.
Non-beer?
Yeah. Who wants to start?
All right. Sure.
Go, Tom.
I've been preparing to play Dungeons and Dragons, and I've been reading through, and so I'm going to recommend D&D. I'm going to be playing 2nd edition, which I'm excited for. Some old school.
Were they up to now, like 5th or something?
5th is the current edition, which I also highly recommend. I think I have actually recommended 5th edition before.
Yeah, possibly.
It's very, very good, but, go through it, go back, have a look.
Go
retro. So you're recommending just someone play
D&D. Play D&D.
D&D
get a group
edition.
Together, Find someone, buy the starter set, maybe. That's a good place to start.
Yep.
Whatever. Just play D&D.
I was actually reading...
You put me on the spot.
I was reading on Reddit the other day, and the Sydney Reddit, and someone was like, hey, where can I start playing Dungeons & Dragons? And within 5 minutes, a group had been formed.
That's pretty awesome.
Nice. My non-beer... All right, well, when we lost the episode we recorded here, I just went and saw... the first Star Wars movie, as in A New Hope, the Sydney Symphony with the Sydney Symphony Orchestra at the International Convention Centre.
I heard about
that. And that was my recommendation and also relevation because we're sitting here with Brad, and Brad admitted that he's never seen a Star Wars movie before.
Oh, yeah, wow.
We're going to have to make him. Maybe that'll be a bonus episode.
So we made a deal that I'm going to take him because they're going to do the original trilogy. So I think next month, my recommendation is grab a ticket, go to...
Empire?
Oh, sick.
With a full orchestra. So and like I was trying to count the amount of people in the orchestra. It was, I reckon, about 200.
Yeah, sick.
It was a full thing. So and it was really cool. So,
might have to go to that.
Awesome.
Reckon the orchestral Phantom Menace would be a hard sit through.
But you have Jewel of the Fates, though. That's so good. That's one of my favorite Star Wars songs.
It was really cool because they have the screen there and then you got the orchestra as well. And there's literally like 15-minute blocks where you forget there's an orchestra there and you're just watching the movie.
Yeah.
And then there's other points where you forget there's a movie and you're just watching an orchestra play some really hectic music. So, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
So, that's my recommendation is come and join us for the second one. Yeah.
Awesome. I'm going to recommend a sport. It's coming up to the pointy end of the AFL women's season at the moment. By the time this gets released, I think tomorrow is the grand final.
Who's in the grand final?
You
don't know yet because it's such a close season this year. Right. It's so good. Yeah. The Giants can make it.
They could make it.
In
Adelaide can make it in after a bad start. You know, they won the grand final last year. I think Bulldogs are the favourites slightly, but they're not guaranteed to make it in yet. So
where is the grand
final? It's going to be hosted by whoever is top of the ladder. So at the moment, it could be Western Sydney.
It could be in Blacktown.
But at the moment, it's looking like the Bulldogs or Melbourne.
Yeah.
So
yeah, right.
Who knows?
Cool. So have you seen an increase in quality from this season, from last season, or is it just...
I'm not saying there wasn't quality there, but I think it's the same kind of intensity. There's been more goals being scored, which is really, like, you know, people criticize the AFLW for not having enough goals. I think it's increased this season, but I think it's the same kind of intensity that you saw that you don't necessarily see from all the men's games. Every single game is just so there's so much heart put into it, and everyone just wants to win so badly.
Awesome.
Especially because it's such a short season that every game counts.
Right.
Cool. So, yeah.
Gareth?
You can reuse your last one because we lost it. So, well, if you want.
Fortunately, my last one wasn't even an answer. It was more of a dodge. So
you can dodge again.
You've got a few weeks to think now.
It's
worked out brilliantly well for me. I'm going to recommend, so I've been doing a lot of backyard gardening. Probably the last year or so, something I tried to start getting into for my young girls, giving them a little veggie patch to work in. And my wife discovered, and then we eventually bought, Australian native bees.
Oh, wow.
So tiny little native bees, stingless, so perfect for kids.
That's really cool.
And they're...
So do you have a beehive at home?
Have a tiny little beehive at home.
That's cool.
They're great for pollinating the flowers.
Yeah.
You get honey at the end of it, or once a year. Not quite as much honey produced as what you get from traditional honeybees, but they're an endangered native species, and being able to keep something like that at home and have a little ecosystem at home working on that's really cool.
Awesome.
That's really cool.
The kids love it. Yeah. Didn't cost too much, and it's working out really well for us.
Is it hard to maintain a beehive?
Not for these bees at all. You sort of stick it somewhere and then look at it once a year to see if it needs to have the honey taken out of it.
That's cool. Awesome.
But get to watch the bees flying in and out, carrying stuff, and it's been great for the kids.
What we might do as well, we might grab your beer recommendation quickly, because there's some people at the door waiting for you, I think, if that's all right.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to go with probably the most exciting beer I've had in the last little while, which is the Source New England IPA.
Yeah.
I hear the bubble and squeak.
When I first had that at the brewery, that is just an outstanding beer.
It really
blew my socks off.
Yeah.
So, if you get the chance to get that, I think there's a fresh batch
that just came back last week.
If you can try it out at the venue, that's a really exciting little venue that they've got there as well. Hidden away, but that little outback area.
Yeah, it's really a brewery with a beer garden. Which is perfect. There hasn't been one yet. So
that's a really cool venue and a great beer if you can try it there as well.
Great beer.
If you're going to go, you got to start with the Bubble and Squeak. It's a cracking beer. Yeah.
Really. Problem is you won't turn back from that.
I mean, it's probably their best beer, so
yeah, it's great.
I think so, yeah.
Awesome. Beer recommendations?
Sure. I'm going to go with the Bolter Double IPA.
Nice. They just
released this week. It's tasting really, really good. Yeah. It's big, it's juicy, it's fruity.
Getting a lot of people saying pineapple.
Pineapple, lots of pineapple. Yeah. And it does not taste like the 8.6 that it is at all.
Nice.
Yeah, it's very smashable. I'm very impressed with that. It's probably the pointiest beer they've released, right? Like, wide release?
Yeah. That black metal disco was like a black IPA, I guess.
No, it was a porter or a dry stout.
Yeah. But it's a big beer.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah.
It was really cool.
I've been helping the Cicerone, a group going through the Cicerone exam in about a month's time. And so I've been helping him and going through a bunch of old world styles. And I cracked a Samuel Smith Nut Brown the other day.
We had that on the podcast not too long ago. Yeah.
That's a cracking beer. Yeah. Good old school English brown ale.
Yeah.
And that's my beer recommendation. Go back some classics.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to recommend the Moondog Suncat IPA. So it's their newest core range beer.
Yeah.
And it's just a really nice, you know, sub 7%, I think, IPA. It was super fresh when I had it. Loved it. Just, you know, classic West Coast. Nothing fancy, but does the trick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Easy.
Get it fresh.
Six packs. Yeah. That's all right.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Let's look out for it.
Awesome.
Cheers.
Well, I think that's a wrap.
Yeah.
Right. Cheers.
Cool. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you much
Thanks a lot, guys.
Cool. Yeah. Great.
Where can you find
Basement Brew House on the internet, on Facebook, on Twitter, or whatever?
The easiest way would be going to the Bankstown Sports website.
Yep.
All the links and everything you could get for the brew house and everything else in the clubs all through that.
Sweet.
Brew House does have its own Facebook page, though. So, Basement Brew House.
Yeah, cool.
Awesome.
It's on Untappd as well.
Yeah. On Untappd.
Yeah, verified venue.
Verified venue on Untappd. We're actually one of the first verified venues in Australia.
Cool.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that's a great service. Yeah. It's worked really well for us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I like how you display your really tab list on the TV. Looks good. Yeah.
TVs.
TVs. Yeah.
It goes across two boards, doesn't it?
There are a few TVs in this venue.
It looks like it's a great idea. We just stumbled upon that. And if you were able to do that, you wouldn't go past it when you're changing beers all the time.
Yeah, yeah. It works for us as well.
It's such a good look.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks great. That's awesome.
It is really good.
So you can find the podcast on at Sessionable Pod on Twitter, Sessionable Podcast on Instagram. We're on Facebook as well. And everything is on sessionable.net.
Awesome.
All right.
Cheers.
See you next time.
Cheers. Thank you, guys. Bye.